Hello and welcome to the My PT Solutions podcast. I'm your host, Devin DeBoer. I'm a physical therapist with 21 years of experience. This is a show for therapists by therapists where we have candid conversations and we share real life experiences and the challenges we face every day in our rehabilitation lives. Our goal is to provide advice to hopefully be the best therapist you can be. Thanks for listening and don't forget to subscribe. Let us know if there are any topics you would like to hear about.
Today I'll be talking with Jennifer Adams. She has had a long history of a chronic medical condition that she's been living with. And today we're going to dive into the ideas of what's that like from a patient perspective, because most of us, PT, OT, and speech, do not have experience with dealing with this on a day-to-day basis. And then look at what does that particularly say to rehab professionals and physical, occupational, and speech therapists about how we can better approach our patients that are living with a chronic condition.
So I guess I would just like to hear your story of Lyme and take as long as you want to walk us through kind of so we can get a good picture of what that, when it started, what your journey has been like.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm 44, lived the majority of my life super healthy. Common cold, maybe is the max. A few traveling issues coming back from bad water, things like that. Mm-hmm. So I was at an outdoor concert in 2010, Indigo Girls. Give them a plug. And I was bit by a tick.
Okay.
And I knew it.
You did? Okay.
Yeah. I had never heard of Lyme disease before. Mm-hmm. So couldn't get the tick out. It was already engorged. The head was still in. I got the body. That was before I was fine-tuned in the mechanics of removing a tick. Mm-hmm. Went to the ER. And the awesome thing is they knew enough of how to get that out and treat it and put me on a dose of amoxicillin for 30 days.
Okay.
Within about 2 weeks, I started getting the oddest forms of illness. It was everything from whooping cough to pneumonia. I had several cases of bronchitis over 6 months. I started having digestive issues. Hmm. My face on the right side started drooping almost like a Bell's palsy. And I started losing control of my right side.
Hmm.
At this point in time, we never connected it back to the tick bite, because why would I? I didn't even know Lyme disease existed.
But you also went through the standard protocol.
I went through the standard protocol.
30 days of amoxicillin, you said?
Amoxicillin. It should be a doxycycline, but the doctor knew enough to give me something.
Right, yeah.
But we never discussed Lyme disease. We just discussed you had a bug bite, there could be bacteria.
Sure.
Let's take a medication.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward about 2 years of this.
Just the weird thing after.
Non-stop weird stuff. I forgot my name. Neurological tremors. I would shake continually on my right side.
Wow.
I started tripping and falling over the simplest little transitions in the floor. Area rugs laying on the kitchen floor. I couldn't lift my feet over those.
Huh.
Thought processes, formulating sentences. I used to, my work, I was CEO of a recovery business. I did aged receivables for health clinics, specialty clinics, hospitals. Oh. And I would teach doctors all day long how to code the files, give solid medical record details. I would teach the billing clinics. I had to stop all of that because I couldn't even formulate a sentence. Nausea, all the GI stuff.
And is this kind of classic signs?
These are all classic signs and symptoms of Lyme disease. Those ticks will leave what we would call co-infections in the body. So like parasitic infections. So Borrelia, things like that. Those spirochetes. It's literally a parasite. And it starts to eat at your brain. So I had a lot of that going on, but nobody knew. I saw 21 different doctors in 2 years.
21
different doctors in 2 years.
Specialists.
And one would refer me to the next, to the next, to the next. I had diagnoses, everything from Parkinson's disease to MS to ALS. I mean, you name it, I was diagnosed with it. I had numerous amounts of different drugs that they tried to stop the tremors and to get my body in order, and every single drug just made me more ill. So, I mean, I could talk about the details of that forever. finally, I started taking my health into my own hands, and I researched like mad. I mean, everything my brain could handle, I researched, and I happened upon a site that began talking about Lyme disease, and then just a series of serendipitous events started to happen where a gal contacted me through social media. She said, "I read your blog, and I'd love to talk to you. I'm not stalking you, but I think I've got some information for you." And she said, "I think you have Lyme disease." So then I reached out to a holistic doctor out in Granville.
Okay.
And she ordered the tests specific to Lyme disease and the co-infections. Western blot is the big one that you want to have if you have Lyme disease. And it will come back letting you know your markers for that. And when it came back, insurance won't pay for it. No insurance will pay for it. It's out of pocket. Hmm. Most insurances don't recognize Lyme disease as a legit diagnosis.
Because it's supposed to be treated in the first 30 days.
And over with. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's been a horrendous, I'm going on 8 years now. So anyway, she called me in her office, and she said, "This is the worst case of Lyme disease I have ever seen." And she said, "Now you don't just have Lyme disease, you have an advanced case." So my kidneys were failing, my liver was failing, and then I had myocarditis.
Sure.
So I still take a heart medication to this day. Every single day I have to take a heart medication, and I'm on a liver transplant list.
Because your liver is
failing. So I am at Spectrum Hospital 3 days a week. I get infusion therapy. I get blood transfusions. But the good news is I was in a wheelchair up until December of this past year. And because of, bringing us full circle, rehabilitation specialists and physical therapy and people that see beyond just what is presented when I walk in the room. I'm out of the wheelchair. We're retraining my brain. Our brain is neuroplastic, so it can retrain, it can regain control. I still deal with tremors. I still deal with dropping things on the right side. I will trip often. That's some of the cause for the little incident at the park on Monday. But overall, getting my life back, it's caused a ton of social anxieties because of the neurological damage from the parasites. So I'm starting to be able to be around noise and light and people again, and I am regaining my life back, but it has been a ton of consistency and persistence.
So you go for the what does the infusion do? What do they give
you? What they're trying to do is they're trying to do the work that my liver's not doing. My liver is backing up. The bile ducts are backing up.
Okay.
And so it's kickstarting my liver, and it's saying, "Hey, guys, you gotta work together here. Liver, you got to do your job, and bile ducts, you got to clean out." So I get a series of steroids. I get a series of antibiotics.
Okay.
It's not the best way to treat, but right now it's the only way because it's the one thing insurance will pay for.
They do?
Yes.
Okay.
They do. But it's not under the Lyme diagnosis.
It's under the liver failure diagnosis?
It's under the liver failure diagnosis.
You got to wonder, where in the world did this come from?
Yeah. Hey, we need one of those.
Exactly. But they don't look back and say what actually caused the liver failure.
No. And I've gotten to the point where I've just stopped asking questions. And I'm letting the doctors handle it and then code it the way they want to code it and just get it paid. So the disease from start to finish has cost us over $1 million out of pocket. Some of that has been through fundraising. Most of that has been through emptying out every single account we've ever owned, refinancing the house and the like.
The business you used to have
is gone. Yeah.
Were you able to sell that? Or?
Yes, but it was minimal, and I had to get out. No, it would have been better if I would have continued working it, but I couldn't. I couldn't even think through a process of getting out of bed into the shower.
I've always wondered this. Tell me what it feels like when you're in the doctor's office and you know that they think something's wrong with you because you got so much wrong. What does that feel like?
I will say in the beginning, especially because I'm a high achiever, I spent my world... I don't know if you're familiar with the Enneagram at all.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like the 9 personality types, and I'm a 3.
Okay.
So threes have the need to achieve. That's where they find their value and their worth.
Okay.
So when I could no longer do that, I mean, I began questioning my entire world. So my first 12 doctors thought I was crazy. Thought I was attention seeking.
Yeah.
You know, and I would look at them and say,
I feel like crap.
Like crap? Health. Go look at any health record. I get my yearly physical. I'm on a multi-supplement.
Yeah.
Healthy my entire life.
Up until 9 months ago, I didn't.
I suddenly decided I wanted to be crazy.
Yeah.
So it took a lot of journeying through a lot of doctors. This is what I've grown to discover. The majority of the doctors want to help. Yes. They do. Mm-hmm. When they feel at a loss, it can press against their ego a little bit. Because they go to school to solve problems.
And they're trained to know all the answers.
And they're trained to know all the answers, but they don't.
Yeah. Same goes true for PT and OT and speech,
too. Sure. Yeah, so the problem comes in when you have a mystery case.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing you can do is say, I don't have the answer, but I'm going to work with you and a team of other people to find the answer. And I have to tell you, it was finally this doctor in Granville that sat and listened to my story as I'm weeping.
Sure.
And I feel like I'm losing my life. And she looked at me and she said, I don't know what you have, but I believe you have something.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out what it is. That's when my life changed.
Because you knew she believed you.
She believed every word I was telling her.
Mm-hmm.
And she could see the visible tremors.
Yeah.
You know, she could see the issues that I was dealing with.
Huh.
So, and there was a lot of fallout, even from friends and church members. People, you know, seeing me healthy and active and go-getter spirit and getting things done, always the volunteer, and now suddenly I can't do anything. And they all began to think, too, that, gosh, I mean, is she just going through a midlife crisis? Is she wanting attention? What does she need?
Yeah.
That was the hardest thing for me, is not being believed, for sure. So, yeah.
I think it takes a lot for anybody, medical doctor or PT or OT or speech, to look at you and say, I don't know what it is. Because we are so trained. They give you, if a person presents with this, then it's this diagnosis.
Yes.
If a person presents with B, it's this diagnosis, and then this is how you treat it.
Right.
But they don't talk to you about, what if I get done with the evaluation and I don't know what it is?
Exactly. Then what?
Then what?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You experienced a lot of then whats.
A lot of then whats.
And a lot of let's try this.
Yeah. And then it didn't work, so let's try this. I was a little lab rat for years and years. Yeah, I finally flew Wings of Mercy out to Kansas.
Okay.
And there's a Lyme clinic out there.
Oh, okay.
And I spent a month in treatment just trying to get my life back.
What did they do?
So everything under the sun. It's bioresonance scanning. It's energetic medicine. Lots of medicine mixed right there on site. When you go into the doctor's office, it looks like they have this pharmacy all around you. I did a ton of infusion therapy.
Okay.
I did a ton of chelation.
Okay.
There was, they did rehab therapy there.
Did they?
Lymphatic drain there.
Were you swollen?
Yes. Very much so. Oh yeah, I didn't even look the same. I didn't look like I look now.
So they did legs and arms, both? All
legs
in the
and
drainage?
Arms, yeah, all the and drainage.
Some people who can do that are amazing.
Yeah, they are amazing. They're remarkable. Yeah. ST8, and then it was every day in the clinic, 8 hours a day in the clinic.
Wow.
Special diet, cleaning out the liver. A lot of people that get things like Parkinson, ALS, they have what's called SNPs, S-N-P-S, and you can find that out through special blood work that you get done. But I have a methylation disorder in my liver. So how it would print out in the science world, it would be like C76666 when you look at all of my DNA. So it makes sense that I had liver fallout, because a lot of the medication they gave me in the beginning, my liver could not process it. So it began to damage it instead. So I was predisposed to quite a bit of this. Like a lot of our children that have autism,
mm-hmm.
They're learning and discovering that these children that are predisposed, if they would not have had all these vaccinations, because they've got liver issues, they probably would have been okay. It's not necessarily the vaccinations that are bad. It's the bodies that receive them that can't break them down.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Okay.
So there's such a debate. There's so much politics over that. But at the end of the day, I think it's a yes and.
Mm,
you know, okay. I think the picture's bigger than just this is bad and that is bad. So,
interesting.
Yeah, and I've done a ton of research. I'm no doctor on it, but I definitely have lived it.
So wouldn't you, the initial medications that they gave you, whether it was for Parkinson's or MS or whatever, hurt your liver, which then they had to kind of reset.
Try to reset it.
Okay.
But now it's just angry.
It's worked too hard.
It's worked hard. It's sleepy.
Yeah.
Tired.
Yeah. Break.
Yeah. So I'm thankful for the help that I'm receiving. I've got a lot of great doctors on my team that really, really do care, and they see me and they see the situation.
So who's your team right now then?
So my biggest team's at Spectrum.
Okay.
And the reason I had to shift over to that is because it was the only thing insurance was paying, and we ran out of money.
So what kind of doctors do you have at Spectrum?
Yeah, so I got infusion therapy doctors.
Okay.
I've got a liver specialist. I've got a heart specialist. I've got a general doctor.
Because you're taking that medication for the endocarditis?
Yeah. Yeah. Myocarditis, which is also called Lyme carditis. Depends on what doctor wants to recognize what diagnosis. But it is a known fallout from Lyme disease. Lots of Lyme patients have to have heart transplants because the disease
is the inflammation of the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and trying to keep that at bay. So I spent almost 3 years in rehab at a local hospital, and a great group of people. They didn't have a clue what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd spend an hour picking up beads and moving a bead from here over to here, here over to here. And some of my best therapy, my cognitive therapy, came from finger picking the guitar. So for musicians, that's brilliant, right?
Right, yeah.
People that aren't musicians, they might need to find something else that they love and they value.
Okay.
But moving beads from one circle to another wasn't effective for me. I was losing my sense of hope. I was losing my morale.
This is all I can do is move a bead from here to there?
All I can do is move a bead? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know? I spent several years in speech therapy. And it was up until October of last year, I got in with some physical therapists.
Okay.
That really began to understand my
body.
What did they start with? So they started with, first of all, listening to my story.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And then doing some research on my disease.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding how the disease ate at my brain.
Mm-hmm.
So that we weren't necessarily just dealing with muscles, but we were dealing with a brain that had been damaged, that needed, the brain's like a muscle, that needed to be reworked.
Yeah.
So
you were, excuse me, if I backtrack, so you were in a wheelchair at this point.
I was in a wheelchair in October.
You went, a physician referred you for therapy again.
Again.
And then you started.
I referred myself to this clinic.
You did, okay, cool.
I did research.
All right. Good.
And I don't know, am I allowed to name drop?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
That's okay.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
It was Simeo.
Oh, great, good.
Okay. In Holland.
All right, absolutely.
And I worked with...
I'll send a copy of this to him.
Yeah, I worked with therapist Adam Fujita, and saved my life.
Cool.
Literally.
Cool.
I was out of a wheelchair in December.
So 2 months-ish?
Mm-hmm. It was hard work. It was some of the hardest work I've ever done.
Like, what did he have
to
do?
Yeah, so we started with the basic. I went in, and I looked at him, and I said, before I got bit by a tick, I was training for a marathon. Mm-hmm. And I said, so if you want to know what my goals are and what my determination is, that's it.
The bar's set pretty high.
Yeah, so basically, here's the deal. If we can't see eye to eye here.
Yeah.
Then this isn't going to work. And
sure.
I mean, he's an amazing therapist who's willing to look outside of the scope of what did I learn in school?
Yeah.
What have I seen thus far?
Yeah.
So I said, I need help in the kitchen. I want to go to the bathroom by myself.
Amen.
I want to get up and down the stairs by myself.
Yeah.
I want to shower by myself. I want to get in and out of the bathtub by myself. I mean, I just, you know, I was confident about what I wanted.
I love my husband, but he needs my space.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I need my
space. And he needs
space.
His space.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Because, you know, contrary to what people think, this stuff takes a toll on everything. Your friendships, your family, your marriage, everything.
Everything.
And yeah, we went through a house fire in between all of that. And lost everything.
You kicked me out when I'm sick with the flu for 3 days.
Yeah, see?
Snap on
I know. So we did start with basics. Okay. We started with, first of all, building up my morale. How could I get some independence back? And I think I made a joke that day and said, I don't want to count beats.
Out of the wheelchair, you're talking. First step is, can I independently work out of the wheelchair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So probably for about 2 straight weeks, that's all we did. He taught me how to get myself in and out of the wheelchair. So we weren't in denial. We acknowledged the fact that I had an advanced illness, and it was chronic. Mm-hmm. We had not acknowledged the fact that I needed to learn some independence, that I wasn't born this way, that I spent the majority of my life free. And now I'm in a chair, so I'm suffering from depression.
Yeah.
I'm feeling really crappy about myself because I'm not achieving.
You're dependent on everybody.
Everybody. That's the worst feeling on the face of the planet, for me, anyway. So we worked at regaining independence. And it was everything from finding a scarf in my closet, tying it around my neck in a safe way, getting it around my leg so that I could use certain muscles independently. The right side wasn't working, but I could pull my legs up with the side that was working, and I could get up and down those stairs.
Sure.
And then we started doing a lot of, I was also working with therapists, and then I also worked with an energy medicine doctor out of California who began to help me work with my brain to gain control of my ability to see past my limitations.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. So as I did visualization every single day, like literally.
Like picture yourself making that right up the step.
Yes. So powerful. So I would sit in that chair every day and then I would visualize, what does it feel like? What does it look like to step out of that chair? And then what does it look like to walk in a walker? Then what does it look like to walk with a cane?
Yeah.
So I had those two working together.
Okay.
And then I would have homework every single day. Every time I would go over to physical therapy, I would come home with homework. And I, even though I didn't understand the homework that he was giving me, I did it every single day. So like, what muscle controls what part of the spine, what part of the body? And I did it without question. I did it faithfully because, I mean, I was focused. Yeah. This is what I was going to get out of this chair. And
so give me a window. Yeah. Like, when you were working your way out of the chair, what was, do you remember anything that he gave you to do that was particularly meaningful or helpful?
I think there's a lot of things. I don't think I could give you scientific names
but you could just describe what you were doing.
So I would lay on the couch. This was before I could walk yet.
Okay.
So I would get myself out of the wheelchair through the technique that he taught me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would lay on the couch. And then I would, through the strong arm, I would work at visualizing and bringing my leg up as far as I could. Like, I didn't have a set standard.
Like bending your knee.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And basically putting myself through the motion of, what does it feel like to walk again? But I did that laying on the couch.
Sure.
So most of the work was done at home, but it was getting my brain and thinking it through to work with whatever muscle control I had at the time.
Wow.
And I, every 2 days, I noticed incredible improvements. I had...
This is fascinating.
Yeah.
So you had weak muscles, but you also had... You were exercising your brain.
I was exercising my brain.
Maybe even creating new pathways to teach your leg how to move.
No doubt I was creating new pathways. There's zero doubt in my mind that that's what was happening. Like, literally.
Very similar to what people that have experienced a cerebral vascular accident.
Yes.
Occurs. You have to learn. I keep telling them, it's like, your old pathway doesn't work anymore. It's all grown up.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find a new way to get from point A to point B.
Absolutely. It's almost like my picture I got was my old pathway was weeded.
Yes.
Like the ivy that grows on the side of the house, you know, and it gets so strong.
Yeah.
So that was happening. We did, there were things where he would have me step on Jared's feet.
Okay.
And Jared would take my weak side and wrap it around him. And it was like we were slow dancing.
Okay.
But what Jared was doing is he was mobilizing my legs to feel
what it felt like.
What it felt like to move, to walk, to dance.
And clarify, Jared's your husband.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So you're like a little kid.
Mm-hmm. Like a little kid. Yeah. Mm. So, I mean, and we would spend countless hours doing that, and my therapist would help me do that as well, and I was able to, it was shortly after Christmas, where I was able to gain enough strength to get myself out of the chair. I was very shaky, very wobbly, and I moved to a walker.
Woohoo! Four-wheel?
It was four-wheel.
Yeah!
And then I continued therapy. I still do therapy. I probably will not ever quit therapy at this point.
Gotcha.
I got to keep those pathways going. I have to keep those muscles strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, until my blood work shows completely clear. This will be my life. And then I was probably with a walker, I want to say a good 4 weeks.
Okay.
And I moved to a cane.
Wow.
And
that's
then
amazing
it was,
improvement from a wheelchair to walking in 2 months.
The cane for balance and just prevent trip and fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was shortly after that, still in the dead of winter, I started fast walking around the lake.
Wow.
Started building those muscles.
You are one determined lady.
Yes, I am.
Wow.
Eating a ton of good fats, good fiber, getting my energy levels up. And I ran my first marathon last Saturday in Charlevoix.
You did the... What was the name of that one?
It's called the Charlevoix Marathon. I will say this for the record.
You ran it?
I ran it. I didn't finish. At 14.2 miles, I did have to stop. My liver was...
Done.
...near exploding.
Oh, okay.
But I'm signed up for the Grand Rapids Marathon.
Oh, which is in October,
it's
right?
It's in October.
Oh, sweet. What a...
And so I will have a marathon in soon. But I still thought...
That's a 1 year later.
Yes. Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah, 1 year later. And I spent 8 years fighting through this.
So it was the rehab, but also at the same time you were getting infusion therapy, right? When did that start?
No, infusion therapy did not start until March.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So you're making improvements without the infusion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was on a ton of liver medication, but I was making great strides of improvement.
So when did the liver medication start?
Yeah, I've been on liver medication the whole time.
The whole time? Oh,
yeah,
because
I had fallout very early on.
It was really you and the therapy that really...
Absolutely. There's no question in my mind.
And the other...
The visualization.
Yes, the doctor.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was out in California?
Power of the Mind. Yes, out in California.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow. So through this process, you probably can have lots of tips for therapists that are dealing with somebody with like chronic pain or chronic illness or chronic weakness, whatever the case might be. What would you say to somebody that's...
Yeah, oh, I love this. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, no problem.
Yep, the first thing I would say is don't assume that just because you've seen it one time, you've seen one thing, you've seen it all. So I think not assuming is the first thing. And I know therapists are busy, and I know they're overworked and underpaid. I know that. I know they work hard.
Mm-hmm.
But to be open to do research, when someone comes in with a diagnosis you haven't heard of, or even a symptom you've not yet seen,
mm-hmm.
research it. Listen to what they have to say. I would say this is true for all doctors to do this,
mm-hmm.
but therapists especially, just because you've read it in your textbook,
mm-hmm.
and it's all you've ever done, look outside the box and say, how can I see this patient in real time? How can I see this patient in their world and not just in my therapy room or in my clinic?
Yeah.
You know, what does their life look like outside of being in front of me face to face on this this therapy table?
Yeah.
And that was the game changer for me.
Mm.
Their ability to see what I needed in the home, what I needed to feel like I was worth something, what I needed to still have interaction with my children, to still be the mother that, you know, is in control and in charge of the cooking and cleaning the bathroom and taking care of herself and getting herself dressed and things like that. And then also using some real life experience to integrate into therapy, you know, so dancing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Great
you know,
example.
Bringing in your family members to be a part of that therapy and healing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just put you at the table to count beads and to separate the colors and things like that. I mean, I would, this might sound a little grotesque, but I would rather stab my eyeballs with dull pencils than to sort colored beads.
So I guess there's no beads in the house anymore.
No, there's not.
No kids playing with cooler beads anymore.
I used to have those when I homeschooled the kids. No. Now they're gone forever. Forever and ever.
So you mentioned that keep your, couple things I think I heard out of that. One was be open-minded.
Be open-minded.
Be open to do a little homework on your own about the research.
Yeah, it came back full circle.
Good.
Understanding DNA of the person and the methylation disorders. I think that is key.
They don't teach us that.
They don't teach that.
That's a good thing to pick up.
But it's a good thing to start learning. And I'll tell you what, your clinic will be set apart. If you are the clinic that is open to understanding how individual bodies work, not just with muscle, but with DNA... and they offer tests online. Mm-hmm. You can get tests done for the DNA and understanding methylation disorders and SNPs. Mm. I think it will help transform the world of medicine and the world of rehab and physical therapy and cognitive and speech therapy. I really, really do.
I'm thinking back, and I don't think that... In our neuro classes, I don't think they talked to us about that at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a game changer for my disease.
Walk me through what methylation disorders are again.
Yeah, so I'm going to put it in super layman's terms because I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
You know, we all have, we're all predisposed genetically.
Okay. Right. Like my parents had a lot of coronary artery disease, so I'm... Okay.
Right.
All right.
They are beginning to research injections, stem cell transplants.
Okay.
To redirect the course of that DNA or those blood cells.
Oh.
So if your mom and dad had it, it doesn't mean you have to you have to have it.
Yeah, okay.
So your SNPs or your blood type might show you are disposed to this. But the transplanting of the stem cells through your own blood, through your bone marrow, and or through other types of cells.
Can it reverse that?
It can reverse it. Huh. Reverse the curse, so to speak.
Okay.
So...
Does it do the same for Lyme? Can you reverse
Lyme? I'm actually heading to Germany to have a total stem cell transplant.
You might do like a 100-mile race at that point in time after that.
I look forward to it. I can't wait to write the book on it. So
from the wheelchair to 100-mile race.
I know. So we are. So I'm saving my pennies for that now.
Okay.
That's very, very, very
Germany
costly.
Because it doesn't do it in the United States.
They don't do it in the United States.
Oh.
And there are certain types they do in the United States.
Okay.
Nothing that's proven enough for insurance to cover. Definitely nothing that insurance would cover with my diagnosis.
Okay.
So Germany has been the leaders in this, and I have a ton of amazing friends that have literally given this disease the middle finger.
Oh, wow.
They have their life back, and they are amazing individuals, and they inspire me daily to not quit, to not give up.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Pretty price tag to make it there?
It is unbelievable, the investment. But you really can't put a price on a life.
No.
Yeah.
Health.
You'll turn it all over.
Yeah.
To stick around. Mm-hmm. We get one shot, right?
Yeah.
And I've got kids. Yeah. I will say this. I probably would have given up a long time ago if it weren't for my children. But they keep me fighting.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Hmm.
Yeah. This is a disease that, all diseases, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But Lyme disease, because it is so understudied and there's so little help, it can leave you feeling like an island sometimes.
Okay.
So I'm hopeful.
So you
that's
said
changing.
Open-minded, learn about, be willing to learn, and then look at the methylation and DNA research that might go along with the disease.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And recognize that the brain is a big player in the body. It's a big player in retraining those muscles and getting them to learn, like you said, a new pathway without all the weeds.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking also that you probably have some insight into specifically how did Adam and Simeo help you walk through that chronic to help you see the hope. What you have? Is there something that we can
Away from that? From the very moment I walked into the place, even at the front desk, I was never treated as less than. And literally, it was like they almost didn't even see the wheelchair. And that was a very different feeling
than
I had.
They didn't pigeonhole you into
never. That was a very different feeling that I had than I had ever had in any therapy or rehab place I had gone to, and I'd been to a lot of them. And then when I got into the treatment room with my physical therapist, there was minimal talk about the chair and how it confines me. So I will say this, there I haven't seen this in all physical therapists, but I definitely saw it in my physical therapist, that there is a gift that he beholds, that he doesn't see his patients as anything less than what he is. And I think that that's number one. You know, don't treat us like we're broken. If you treat us like we're broken, we're gonna keep giving you the results that we're broken. But if you treat us that we're whole and that we're capable of doing really impossible things, then that's what we're going to produce for you. But I didn't even realize I needed that. I didn't know that that was a part of my healing that was lacking.
Would you call it hope? Or would you call it acceptance? Or
I would definitely call it hope.
Okay.
I would definitely call it presence. Being present with seeing me not as a broken package.
That's cool.
But already being what I needed to be. That everything that I needed was already on the inside of me.
I just
needed
it.
I need someone to unwrap it and to put it all together for me, to help me see what I couldn't see.
Fascinating.
So so almost like a spiritual healer too. You know? I mean, not to get all hokey, but I believe in that too. I believe we're spirit, soul, and body. And it all works together. And you've got to have therapists and doctors that see that. That don't just treat symptoms. If I would have gone in that there that day and he would have just started treating me symptomatically, I wouldn't be where I am today.
The visualization, I'm a little intrigued by that. What? How often did you practice that? Not yet. We're looking at them.
So I would practice 45 minutes a day. I would practice 45 minutes a day. Every single day. I've always been a rule follower. So when I was given homework, I did it. And I was determined, too. I wasn't going to live like this for the rest of my life. And that's not judgment on anybody else. That's just saying, I got things I want to do. I'm a little thrill seeker. I got beautiful kids, and I've got adventure that I've got to seek out. So,
did the doctor out in California give you visualization stuff to do?
Absolutely.
So then you worked with Adam to visualize?
So then when I was working with him with the muscle, you know, what muscle did what I needed to contract. A lot of it was my breath, my core. Breath is life, right? So learning how to bring it all back into center, and I'm a singer. So I had the basic concept of that, but I lost sight of it a little bit. I lost sight of it a little bit because I began getting overwhelmed by all the things I couldn't change. So he started bringing everything back to the core. And when I learned how to visualize along with the core breath, and then understanding what muscles controlled what parts of my body, my spine. Like, I used to see a chiropractor once a week, which I think is phenomenal. But you can continue to reset the spine over and over again. But if you don't teach the brain and the muscles to hold the position,
or move correctly,
so you're just going to keep resetting the spine and never get anywhere. So, I mean, it's an entire new world and concept for me. But it's been a game changer.
You have to have that base to move from, and that's where the abdominals really kick
Absolutely.
In.
Absolutely.
Give you that stable base, whether it's the arms or the legs. If you don't have that stable base, you're like, you're in a boat.
You're a marionette.
Sort of. Like,
Yeah. You know, one of the things that's been difficult, especially coming from a history of insurance world, I think that patients would gain a ton if therapists could come into the home.
Mm.
Because that's where the life is happening.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I actually do home health, and yeah. You have to be homebound for insurance to cover it in
right.
the home,
right?
Typically. So it's like if you can walk into a clinic or you can get to a clinic mm-hmm. with help, you know, then they won't pay for it. So it's kind
right.
of just...
Yeah, it's so tricky. It's, yeah. so, it's all politics.
Yeah. Well, obviously, there's been abuses, too, in the years past with it. So, I mean, therapists aren't without their fault in that, too.
Sure.
But,
sure.
yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Seeing somebody in their own environment and mm-hmm. understand
yep.
what needs to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
absolutely.
Huge.
It's a game changer.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Anything else about the disease process or something you just want to say about medicine or to therapists in general? Anything?
Yeah, a couple of things that come to mind. The first thing is, I don't think it can be an all or nothing.
Okay.
My healing journey has been a yes and.
Okay.
I started out very conventionally minded.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a ton of healing in the holistic world. Doctors mm-hmm. that don't think like our conventional doctors. But now here I am full circle, having a lot of conventional treatment that's saving my life on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those transplant lists, we have a
sure.
ton of donors, but you've got to have a perfect match. When something
mm-hmm.
happens where there's a liver that comes up, the match has got to be perfect. I've been
mm-hmm.
up twice now, and the liver hasn't passed its final inspection. So your hopes get up, and then your hopes go down.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say to anybody suffering with a chronic or an advanced illness, there is always hope. Even on your worst days, a new
mm-hmm.
day comes, and there's always hope. And there's so many groups. There's so many people that you can reach out to. I will be an advocate. You can reach out to me. You can find me
mm-hmm.
on Facebook. They can find me through you.
Sure.
If someone needs to be talked out of a dark hole,
yeah.
I'm happy to do it all
yeah.
hours of the night because I've been there. I've been suicidal
yeah.
when the parasites were eating my brain. And I, anybody that knows me, I'm a joy-filled person.
Mm-hmm.
But I spent 2 years suicidal because
yeah.
I there's so much going on up here I didn't understand.
Yeah.
So there's always hope.
Okay.
And then I think, too, the biggest thing is for our physical therapists, our rehab specialists, our doctors, our specialists, our holistic doctors, no matter what you see when a patient walks in, that doesn't have to be the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be their last chapter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an eternal optimist, so I believe that there can always be one more chapter that can look different than the chapter before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm writing it right now.
Yeah, you are.
So I'm walking it out.
Running it, actually.
I'm running it. So on days where my right side does a little hiccup, instead of letting that fear come in, I remind myself, I do have fear, but I hold that a minute, and then I remind myself, hey, my body did it just last week. It can do it again.
Cool.
You know, and that's not putting judgment on any of my dearest friends that have passed away from chronic disease or chronic
mm-hmm.
illness.
Sure.
I mean, I understand
yeah, yeah.
there's, we all have a beginning and
yep.
an end, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm just saying I know that my journey's not over
mm-hmm.
and I've been through the worst of it. And I believe wholeheartedly if we are open-minded and we just say yes to whatever the universe brings across our path, we'll have the help that we need.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and I owe a world of gratitude to every single healer that's walked into my life. Every
cool.
single, the hard work that you guys do. I know Jared mentioned
mm-hmm.
that you still serve at a hospital
yep.
doing physical
mm-hmm.
therapy.
Yep.
I mean, I get choked up when I think about the countless people that have helped me get to where
yeah.
I am today and are still helping me.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for, I guess, bearing your soul a little bit. And
yeah.
appreciate that, and I think, you know, it just gives us a window that we don't get to see very often, because
mm-hmm.
again, we have these 3 to 4 week windows, or maybe even 6 to 8 week windows, depending on what that is, to
yeah.
get into, and I think it's really helpful to hear the whole story,
yeah.
what's possible.
I do want to say this too. I had another serendipitous moment this morning where I met with a state representative who's vying for a seat for state senate.
Okay.
And she came door to door and she said, is there any question you want to ask me? And I jumped right in. I wanted to understand her position in healthcare and being a voice to get Lyme disease covered. under our policies.
Yeah.
So I've won an ear with her.
There you go.
And I want my brothers and sisters who are fighting this dreadful disease to know that I'm going to be a voice.
There you go.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good. Well, thanks again.
You're
Appreciate
welcome.
Your time.
Thank you.